and we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
You know, I might have to run it back because it's such a good song for February. Hey, listen, so if you never listen to the show, listen, you're tuned into Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, Hunkaminam speaking nations territory, here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland, here in Pacific Spirit Park, deep in the woods, live from CITR, UBC's campus. Listen, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And if you have missed it, listen, the first week of February, every February, what we do is we hold what we call the fund drive, where we fund what is community radio and how we provide not only all of the amazing equipment we have here, but also put on the amazing programming. Everybody who has a show here is volunteer. And what we do is give a voice to the community. So if you want to still be able to donate to CITR, listen, we are always taking donations because, listen, while it's people here who give their voice and time, it is also the listeners that make this go around. So if you are around town, pick up a Discorder magazine. You can just read some of the lovely words that people have here, see what kind of shows are going on here, see the new artists that are emerging here, not only on UBC, but also just kind of in Vancouver. And then also, you listen, you can give your money. CITR is great. You should do it. But if you haven't listened to Off the Beaten Path here, you're in for a treat. Listen, I intentionally skipped last week just because so much had gone on that I felt like I just knew that it was going to compound. Like I had a feeling that things were going to continue to just get funnier and funnier. And some things have gotten sadder, but we're not going to focus on that today. So if you never listen to Off the Beaten Path, this is what we do here. We talk about what's going on here in BC, what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in Canada, what's going on here in North America. So, you know, sometimes we'll jump across the pond, talk about what's going on over in Europe and what's going on worldwide. Sometimes we talk about space. A lot of times we talk about space. I feel like in the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, especially when Space Force was coming out, Space Force was huge, right? Space was big. That was back. I feel like each year has had like a big thing, and I remember when space was it. But no, we got a lot to go. We got a lot to get to. I have so much good music here this week. And not only are we going to talk about some good music, we're going to talk about, you know, my favorite, When Animals Fight Back. But before we get, actually, that would be a weird, incredibly weird segue into the next thing I was going to talk about. But listen, I feel like this Black History Month has been kind of a disaster. And when I say that, like, not like, obviously, not like, in the literal sense, but in the figurative, we spent a lot of energy over the past few years, and I feel like this one, we could have used this better to build on the momentum. I think the leap year is making it weird, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously I've had multiple leap year Black History Months in my life, but I feel like this one is particularly memorable because it's particularly long in the sense of, we still have a few more days. However, I think you should end it with a, you know what, take some time this week. Take some time this weekend, this week. This morning I watched a documentary on, I don't know if you've ever heard of SNCC, which is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And they came up with a documentary this year, just over recently, about just kind of what it was like to fight for the right to vote. And so I think that is important to remember that every group that has been subjugated and oppressed, you know, by Western powers has everything that they have has been a fight, right? So the documentary is called We'll Never Turn Back, and I think that you should check it out. But everything has been a fight, and so this documentary covers what it looked like in Loudoun County in Alabama. Loudoun County is between Selma, which I'm sure that people, especially if you listen to this radio show, that you've heard of, and maybe you've seen the movie with Martin Luther King, and Montgomery, Alabama. And so what you learn is that just kind of everything and the years that it took for people to come together and fight, not just with rhetoric and words, but with their bodies and sacrifices, and what it took to gain the right to vote. And it's something that I have to constantly be reminded of myself, because I think that we can lose, especially like when we're looking at kind of the situations, the political situation that we have right now, where everything feels like such a joke, and it feels as if we have people, you know, playing in our faces about, you know, what is possible and what we should be okay with. And sometimes we need to be reminded that that kind of sentiment and that ideology and that those ideas have been carrying people for persistent for decades, and people have always told people that they should be fine with however things are going, and they should, you know, and this is as good as it can get, and this is just how it is. And what you've learned is that throughout history, especially throughout history of North America, is that people are fighting, and this is a fight that is continued. One of my favorite books was gifted to me by my mother, and it was by Angela Davis, and it's called Freedom is a Constant Struggle. So it's always talking about just how we must be persistent and kind of in thinking about not just setting up, not just, you know, fighting for ourselves, but really becoming part of an organization and, you know, really giving your life and your life's purpose to something that's bigger than you, and how important that is. And I think that we can all be a little bit more reminded of that every time. And so, listen, while Black History Month is 29 days this year, I think that you should check it out. It's on Paramount. You can stream it on Paramount, or if you're like me and you don't fuck with any of those big business streamers because you just don't feel like they do anything justice, listen, you can just go stream it on wherever you stream things on the internet. But go check it out, and I promise you it's worth it. Now, listen, when we get back, listen, we have a moose on the loose, and I'm going to tell you just about, listen, it must feel good to be a moose on the loose, to be honest. Like, you're a moose on the loose. Who's stopping you from doing that whatever you want? Nobody. And I'm going to tell you about what mooses can do when they want to take back what's rightfully theirs. Here's some Krangbin, though, because everybody needs a little bit more Krangbin in their life.
Open for the rain.
You're back here on Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in to CITR, not just from 10 to 11, but you can listen from 8 to 11, 8 to 10, Crimes and Treasons, 10 to 11. You can listen to me. We got your Tuesdays on lockdown. So, listen, there's two things that I dream about, really, in my life. And one of these things is I dream about one day finally having the courage to become the scammer that God put me on this earth to be. And two, after I successfully scam, then helping the animals come and take back what's rightfully theirs. And so while I hope for both of those things, I don't have a lot of faith that those things are going to come without some great work. And so, you know who is putting in work? The moose. One thing I love about moose is that it's both singular and plural at the same time. Anyways, so basically what happened is a few weeks ago in Alaska, a moose headbutted a woman, and the victim survived, but they're free, broken, bones. So I don't know if you've ever seen a moose before, but moose are huge. I feel like moose look like a bus. And we have consistently pushed them out of the places where they roam free. Like, one of the things that I find that to be so disturbing is that, like, there are these large animals that we have no idea, just like we can't even fathom what it looked like just a few hundred years ago when, I don't even want to say they were at their peak, but like when it was a more regulated type of ecosystem. So when I learned that the buffalo and the moose in North America used to have herds that were the sizes of states, like, and as they moved, they would, like, think about the size of Missouri, just entirely buffalo, and they would move. And that's how there were so many different groups of people would live off of the animals, but in a much more sustainable way. And anyways, and moose were the same thing. As you move up north, just hundreds of thousands, and now we have reduced them to just a few thousand, spotty in different areas. Anyways, so when I see, you know, a moose in Alaska or Wyoming, you know, headbutt somebody, I'm like, God damn, take that shit back. That's what we need. I feel like we need like an organized moose outfit. Anyways, but Nancy was cross-country skiing, and instead of waiting in the car while her husband skied, she decided to go out for a stroll and go out for a walk. And as she went out for a walk, the moose was like, hey, you're in my neighborhood. She decided to not get her ass out of there. And then she got trampled by the moose. And listen, the game committee went out and went to look for the moose, and they couldn't find the moose, because what they do is they go and kill these animals that they feel are aggressive. And I feel like that's totally wrong. Like, when there's a politician who talks about how terrible that is, then maybe we can start to, you know, feel like our votes matter a little bit. But, you know, those are some of the things I'd like to see changed. Anyways, also, now this is a little bit, you know, I was going to talk a little bit about another animal attacking a human, but it's a little too personal, because I find that sometimes when you're talking about dogs, people can get so sensitive when talking about dogs, you know, and not in the same way. Like, people are good with dogs, and people are good talking about dogs, especially when they're cute and cuddly. But like when dogs are acting like dogs, then it's a problem, because dogs can be both loving and dangerous at the same time. And while, like, I guess, and I guess, like, the thought of a dog attacking people kind of scares me. So, like, this is one of the things where I'm conflicted. Like, I am conflicted when thinking about how if a dog attacking someone, is them taking back what's theirs, or is that just a dog being a dumb dog, you know, because they're not actually defending anything, you know, if you think about it. They're not coming. It's not like dogs don't have territory. They've long given up. But then I feel like for me to even think that is like, was I ever on the animal's side to begin with? And then I have to think about like how conflicted I am just as my own being. And just trying to understand myself, you know, it's a point of reflection anyways. But a dog kills its owner, and it makes me think that, wow, that was just a bad owner, because dogs don't naturally behave like that. So, you know what? I'm back on the dog side, Okay. This is one thing that was very near and dear, and this is why I needed to wait to today to talk about this show, because I love scams. And I think that it's important that we have scammers in this world. Also, the amount of scams that we have today, like I read somewhere that people say that we are in like the worst era of fraud ever. And I'm just like, how can that be? Because we live in a society now that is more heavily watched than ever before. Like, imagine being a teenager right now and trying to sneak out of your house. Like, I feel like I'm 34, and so obviously, like, when I was a teenager, there's no Ring cameras, there's barely cell phones, you know, there's not, you leaving the house, it wasn't a guarantee that people were going to be able to get in touch with you. Like, payphones existed because, just for that reason, like, you needed to make sure you had a quarter so you could, you know, like, these things were existed. So you could just leave the house and just be gone. There's no like GPS on your phone. There's no tracking. You know, there's no like, you don't chip people. You know, there's nothing. It's just you and the outdoors. And so I think back to, and like, but now we live in a society where like you can walk on an airplane and never show your boarding pass because they have your face tracked literally from the time that you walk through security all the way from the time that you sit in your seat. And so I don't understand how they can say fraud, you know, is at its most dangerous level in 2024, because there was a time when you could just move. You don't even have to move states. You could just move cities and people, you could just make up an entire new identity for yourself. Like, people had multiple families living within driving distance of their house, just because once you left your house, it was just you and outdoors. Anyways, and so, but however, with that being said, there are some scams that are still out here getting people. Like, I have a friend who just got scammed the other day because, I don't want to put her on business, but she got a call and they said that if she doesn't send money in 10 minutes, the police is going to raid her apartment. And she believed them. And I just thought, like, wow, how much goodness in your heart do you have to have and faith in humanity in the world to believe that the police are going to call you and ask you for your address and ask you for money before they bust your door down? You know, it's just like, I was just like, you know, you just have never, it's just, how much faith in humanity do you have to have? Anyways, but there are a lot of people who have that type of faith in humanity, and there's so many scams that take advantage of that. So you should be alert. Now, if you have your grandparents, if your grandparents are still around, if your grandparents are still around, first off, tell them to listen to Off the Beaten Path on Tuesdays from 10 to 11 so that they can make sure that they are not getting scammed. Because what's happening now is that people are using your voice and calling your grandparents and saying, hey, send me this money. Don't get off the phone or Nicole's going to get it. And people are wiring them thousands of dollars. And sometimes I read these things, I'm like, man, the balls you gotta have. But also, how much of a coward do you have to be? You know what I mean? Because if you really had the balls, you would do what the second most popular scam is, which is the romance scam, which is people start by meeting people on dating apps, and then once the love interest gains your trust, then they claim to, you know, either be sick or in jail or need money, you know, or hurt, or have a family and needs money, or, you know, be in the military, just kind of something, and they need your help. And then they get money that way. And I'm like, you know, those people have a little bit more balls, a little less cowardly, probably a lot less lucrative. Doesn't sound like the kind of quick hits that you might get with the grandparents. Listen, but there's so many different scams that you got to watch out for. Like, also, I just find that, like, if something is too good to be true or too bad to be true, then it's probably a scam. Anyways, if you've been scammed and you'd like to call in anonymously, listen, I won't put your name out there, but you can call in at 604-822-2487. Or if you've ever wanted to scam someone and you want to call in, tell us how you do it. We'd love to hear about it. Listen, when we come back, we're going to talk about where is Pedro Pascal, and if you live in Vancouver, how can you find him? And then once we... Listen, I have so much good music this week. It kind of hurts my feelings to think about how much good music I have, and how much good music I want to share with you all. But when we get back, we're really going to talk about where Pedro Pascal is and where you can just kind of bump into him in downtown Vancouver.
I can wear that.
Everything you say is funny, girl. It feel like I'm dating a comedian. Everybody else, I swear, but today I finally hit the median. Even though I can't dress, girl, you love everything that you see me in. Do you really think I'm cute? Honesty looks good on you. Honestly, you're too good for me. Honestly, we'll last about a week. Honestly, my life is sour, but when I'm with you, everything's sweet. When I'm with you, everything's sweet.
If the clothes fit, we should wear it, though I'm not so keen to sharing. Got a long or two to spare. Nice and toasty in my bed with Barry. I think we should get married. Sometimes I catch myself just staring at your face. I wanna memorize until it's embedded in my eyes. I can't believe this is my life. I'll indulge in a serving of you when I don't need honey. You're the frosting in every day's cake and we won't have to bake. Everything's sweet. Everything.
Back with All the Beaten Path here on 101.9.citr.ca. Listen. If you thought I was going to tell you where Pedro Pascal is, why would I do that? Listen, why would I ruin that person's life by, telling all these thousands of listeners where exactly it's going to be? That doesn't make any sense. The one thing I will do is I will help you not get scammed by some bullshit employer. So, listen, the CBC, they have an article on their website. You can go check it out, where it is talking about dreaming of quitting on the spot. You might want to think again. Apparently, this is something news to me, which is that if you quit your job without proper notice, your job can sue you for damages. If you quit your job without proper notice, your job can sue you for damages. So listen, this is something that I find to be so unfair to the employee. And you know, here on Off the Beaten Path, we are 100% pro-employee, down pro-labor, down with management. And so one of the things is that your job can, it's so crazy, your job can fire you at any moment. And at least here in British Columbia, you are, for most employees are protected by labor rights, where you are entitled to settlement, to severance, and they have to pay you, for the amount of loyalty that you have given them and shown them over the years. But they can still fire you on the spot. And for many employees who do not have those types of protections, that can be devastating. That can be devastating. And so it's so crazy to learn that employers can sue you for leaving without notice, because you could sue them back, but if you lose your job, you probably want to save as much money as possible. Anyways, so while this is not a likely scenario, John Fleming Insurance Agency asked the tribunal for $3,000 in compensation after their insurance broker quit without notice in 2022. And in the second case, another BC company claimed $2,400 in damages after another employee quit with 2 weeks notice instead of the required three as per her contract. And so I did not know that jobs were so petty that they're out here suing people for them quitting their job. Like, I would be damned if a job sued me because I quit. I would literally change my bank account, and then I don't even know what I'll do. I'll just take all the money out, and I'll just be like, listen, when I have a bank, because you're not going to get it from me. Just off the principle, I would move back to the United States if a job sued me here for quitting without notice. I would just move. I don't care how small the amount of money was. Like, even if it was like, it doesn't matter how small. Anyways, but be careful, because everybody's broke out here, even the jobs. That's the one thing that you learn, is that like every single person out here is just living above their means, and including jobs. Jobs are living above their means. The management's living above their means. People are living above their means, and we're all doing bad. Like, I am wondering, which is when it's all just going to come down, because really that's what I prepared myself for. I've prepared in the worst way, I've prepared myself for when it comes down. Like, you have to, because it doesn't feel like we're in a very sustainable situation right now. You know, it feels like as if it's all just, we're all just hanging on just by the hairs on our chinny chin chins, you know what I'm saying? Like, so in those moments, you just have to like understand that everybody's broke. And so when people are doing things to you and people are acting out, just understand that they're broke. That's just kind of what you have to understand, is that people are here broke. And when you think about broke people, this is what I think about the most. I think about why we're broke. And in 2022, it should be no surprise that there was over $8.5 trillion in untaxed income for mega-rich Americans. So that is, when we say mega-rich Americans, we are talking about people who are worth at least $100 million or more. And in 2022, because of the tax cuts provided by Donald Trump, $8.5 trillion went untaxed by like the onest of 1% people in 2022. So just think about, like, think about 2022 after post-pandemic, after people were, you know, the government was done spending the stimulus, and here the CERB was running out, and people were on their last legs of EI, and ultra rich people were making more money than ever. Like $8.5 trillion is just such an unbelievably large, unfathomably large amount of money. Like, I think, like, there's a graphic that you should look up. And it uses these blocks to show like the amount of money. Like, I think in each block is like $100, and it shows like what $100 looks like, what $1,000 looks like, what an average American's yearly income looks like. Then you start to get in, what is $1 million look like? What is $1 billion look like? What does $1 trillion look like? Just look it up. Look it up. And it is insane. So when you think about $8.5 trillion, you just of untaxed, like, what are people doing with all this extra money? Like, I mean, while people are broke, so broke, and the people who invest in these companies that will sue you don't need the money. They just want to make your life miserable. That's like one of the things that you kind of learn, especially, I know, going back to the documentary on Loudoun County in Alabama from the SNCC, so SNCC, just in case you needed me to spell it out. Listen, you should watch the documentary, because what you learn is that people were intentionally making others' lives miserable, and that's not something that has changed. Like, we have a long history in both Canada and America of intentionally making people's lives miserable, and that's what I think about when I see just huge amount of taxes going unrealized, because what do you need that much money for? You know, like, I feel like, I mean, I know a few people who've made a lot of money. And we talk about wants and dreams and, you know, wants and dreams and kind of ideas around money and things that they want to do and accomplish and, you know, what they want to be able to provide for their families and things like that. And once you get above millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, you get into the billions, what else is there to do? You got nothing. And so anyway, so when I think about like the fairness and what does fair look like and what does it not look like, it looks like that, especially as tax time comes around now, and I just know that I'm gonna owe taxes, not only in Canada but also in America, it just really hurts my feelings to think that there are people out here. There are people out here just skirting. And when I get back, listen, like, you know, I work in branding and brand strategy. And what you find out is that, like, not only are people who work in branding and brand strategy so out of touch with the everyday person, but, like, the people who those people work for have no fucking clue what's going on. And we're going to explore a little bit about just how out of touch that they are. Listen, after we listen to some, I don't know if I should keep the vibes low, or just kind of get them, kind of jazz it up a little bit. I think I'm gonna get it up because, listen, we got so much good programming, so much good music. Listen, the night's just beginning. It's just Tuesday. Here's some I'm on the Piano. Path here on 101.9 CITR. The CAs, damn. Sometimes I think that we live in such a diabolical, like people are so diabolical, where I know that this is this man's job and this guy's, he's just an idiot, but the Kellogg's. So first off, if you don't know the history of Kellogg's, I would urge you to please go listen. Just type in, go on your phone, go to Spotify, go to Kellogg, type Kellogg, and then type Behind the Bastards. And what you're going to get is you're going to get an episode about Celestial Sleepy Time Tea, and you're going to get an episode that will talk to you about the origins of Kellogg's cereal and how the person who invented Kellogg's cereal did it because he wanted to make something so bland, so disgusting, that people, and so boring that people would not give any pleasure out of it, and they would also not have sex. And Celestial Sleepy Time Tea is all a part of that. It's all a part of that. And so anyways, so the Kellogg's millionaire CEO basically said that poor families should eat cereal for dinner to save money. Now, two things about this. So disrespectful to tell people that they should eat your shitty ass cereal for dinner so that they could save money. As if cereal isn't fucking expensive. Listen, I don't know. Like, there's two things. One, cereal's gross. Cereal shouldn't be something that people eat for dinner. It's not like on so many levels that to talk about how people should save money, people should eat cereal for dinner to save money, it just feels so disrespectful. And also, cereal is not cheap. I remember the last time I went to go to the store to buy some cereal, just because I had a craving for some. It didn't even matter what cereal it was. Like, I didn't say it didn't matter what cereal. I went there with the idea. I was like, okay, I'm going to look at some Frosted Flakes. I'm going to look at Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm going to look at, what was the last one I looked at? Oh, some Raisin Bran. Listen, don't judge me. I like Raisin Bran. And so I went to go look. What does a box of Raisin Bran cost in 2024? $8.50. And when you eat cereal like me, listen, that's like four bowls of cereal. Now you're like, oh, Issa, that's $2 a bowl, you know, like that plus the milk. You know, maybe it's $3.50 a bowl. Maybe you could eat that for dinner. And I'll tell you, go to hell. No, but seriously, cereal's not cheap. It's not. It's like for a family, it's one box gone. And then you have to pay for whatever sickness your kids get. It's terrible. Listen, like all of these people, all of these CEOs, not only do they have bad ideas, they have ideas that can only make sense when you are not living like in the reality that other people are living in. Like, asking people to eat cereal for dinner is so disrespectful that like it makes me feel like we just don't kidnap anymore. Like, and we should. Like, it's one of those things where I talk about this on the radio show all the time, is that this is a pro bullying show, and we should bully people like this. Like, Gary Pilnick, he shouldn't be allowed to have a comfortable meal with his family anytime he goes out. Anytime somebody sees Gary Pilnick, I'm going to Google what this man looks like, and I am going to make sure that I know what he looks like. So if I ever see this man coming across anywhere, I'm going to harass him and bully him. And listen, and I support, and if you harass and bully, and listen, you have a supporter here, because no CEO should feel comfortable saying that type of shit and then be able to go out and eat dinner and just have a good time with his family. It shouldn't be allowed. Moving on to another CEO that shouldn't be allowed to just enjoy life, is that the CEO of Wendy's. Listen, I love Wendy's. Wendy's is my favorite fast food. But when I read today that Wendy's was testing surge pricing on its menu items, where prices fluctuate based on demand, like in Uber, I was like, oh, nah. This is too much for me. This is too much. So basically, they are looking at what they call dynamic pricing on food, basically based on, you know, how busy a Wendy's is. So like the busier Wendy's, the burger could go up to $10 versus $7. They have spent $20 million in technology, which will allow this quick turn and this agile pricing. And I'm like, what? Like, this is where you get into a idea that we are just in like the latest stages of capitalism, because there is literally nowhere that is safe, because we live in a society where it's based on constant growth, and when they're testing dynamic pricing on a fucking burger, we are at peak growth, and we've gone too far. And so I don't know who the CEO, let's see who look at the CEO of Wendy's is, because David Pilnick and CEO of Wendy's food name. Let's look at him. It says Dave Thomas. Now we know that's not the Kirk Tanner. Kirk Tanner is the, and he lives in Dublin, in Columbus. Listen, I have someone from Columbus listening right now. Listen, if you see Kirk Tanner in the streets, tell him off the beaten path, it's got something for his ass. And we're pro-bullying around here. So, you know, next time I go to Columbus, I'm going to find him. Anyways. Now, we have a few serious stories. I think that it's important. There are a few serious stories. I don't want to dish. So I don't know if y'all heard, but there was a U.S. soldier who set himself on fire in front of the, in front of the Capitol on, Sunday. You know, this is some shit. Listen, all of a sudden now my computer doesn't want to work. Wild. Anyways, very interesting. Anyways, there was a former U.S. airman who set himself on fire in front of the Israel embassy to protest the offensive that Israel is having in Palestine and has been having since October. And it's one of those things where I feel like we have so much what people call content on the internet that it's just junk, you know, like that we have internet junk that just continues to proliferate our airwaves and our waves. And we have so much that you can never really know what's going on. And so, but like when you hear about self-immolation and like what, just kind of how much belief you have to have in not in just, you have to have so much belief that you can change that. And that something is so wrong, and that this is the only option to get attention, to do that. And it kind of feels as if we have so much just junk content that these things kind of just, we just move on so quickly from stories. And it's just kind of nuts, because when you think about like kind of what's going on and how we have just wars and destruction just live streamed on, just you can just pick it up and watch it on your phone. It's just kind of how do we end up here and how do we get away from it? It doesn't seem to have any end, and it seems as if this is just like kind of the beginning of what people kind of are going to expect us to be okay with. And so I think it's, like I talked about at the beginning of the show, it's an important reminder all the time, you know, when you read stories like this, to not shy away from the message that people are sending, and kind of the sacrifices that people are making for what they believe is right. I think that it's important to make sure that you are you are looking at people sacrificing and making yourself aware of what's going on, and also not the responsibility that you have to yourself and to, you know, to everybody's cause, but the responsibility that you have to your other humans and humanity, and making sure that, you know, we are living in the type of society and world that we want to. And it doesn't happen passively. Like, it only happens when you are putting your body and your mind, your spirit into organizing and making sure that we can't do it alone. And so making sure that we are all pushing each other forward. And that's what CITR does. That's why you should donate to CITR, because what you're going to get here is you're going to get people here talking about things that they care about, and an organization that kind of pushes that as well. And listen, the world's fucked up, and it's important that we acknowledge and see just the sacrifices that other people are making. And yeah, I wanted to end on a funny story, but I just don't think it's right. I think that we should, you know, especially as we have these two extra days of Black History Month, one of the parts in Freedom of a Constant Struggle by Angela Davis, she talks about the Black radical tradition and how important it is to not only struggle and see the struggle of people across the world, and how it's important that the fight is not just a fight for one, it's a fight for all, because it's not just a saying, but nobody's free till we're all free. So when you see the kind of sacrifices that people make, and you think about the sacrifices maybe that, you know, you think about what more you can do, even if it's just a little bit. I saw a inmate from a prison who worked 1,039 hours to make $17, and he sent it all to a pro-Palestinian group helping to relocate and find safe homes for children. So listen, everybody can do just a little bit, and everybody can do just a little bit more. Listen, but that was Off the Beaten Path. Listen, every Tuesday we do this, and I'm out.
Money hit hard, we have it, then no hurts here. Me put a target on it in a diverse way. Skull like a clock, the matic is a no girl's play. Pass it down, me no muggle gun, and me first spray. Me bad no blood clot to me turn clear. The bag the man want, all the works there. Face flat, poverty let the nine burns. We a big lot, we live like we trafficking.